Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. All right, so we got we've got an idea now of a little bit about where the first half of the year is and where the second half of the year has gone. People are trying to figure out how to make sense of this stuff, Faisal. They're trying to figure out, are they going to have enough money to get through retirement? All of these, these questions people have as they start to start questioning what this next stage of their life looks like, right?
And I think part of the confusion comes in when they start to read articles, mm-hmm. talk to advisors, financial planners who have certain rules of thumb that they use to articulate how you should have your money invested, given their circumstance. More importantly, some basic rules of thumb of how people should have their money invested when it comes through to retirement. And there's some popular ones that are out there that we hear about all the time. And I think we would do a disservice if we did not talk about these rules of thumb.
Sure.
Because everybody has, it's a quick read on online or on an article, or it's an easy way for a conversation with a financial planner or an advisor. But when it comes down to it, when we look at where we are today, we need to look at these rules of thumb and say, are they still valid today? And can we continue to use those rules of thumb going forward?
Well, and some you'll find actually contradict each other, right?
Yeah.
If you use them in conjunction, you create a problem for yourself. Now, I would say that rules of thumb maybe are of interest as a quick back of the napkin calculation that perhaps gives you a framework for a discussion to have. But the problem with a rule of thumb is it's a generality.
Yeah, and people actually implement that rule of thumb.
No, exactly. So it's a generality, and unless you think your life and your family situation is just a pure generality, okay, it really can act, in my opinion, as a point of discussion. At least you're starting from somewhere. So let's go with the rule of 25 or the 4%.
Okay, so let's go through each of these rules.
I just talk
understand what the rules are, and then we'll go to commercial break, come back, and then we'll talk about do those still hold any water there? Are they valid or what the risks are? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, let's start off with the first one. I think the first one I have on my list here is the 4% rule.
Yeah, the rule of the 25 rule.
So what is that rule, Dave?
Well, so what it effectively says, the rule of thumb, is that you can safely withdraw 4% of your investments and increase it by inflation for the rest of your life. So let me just use some math. If you've got $1 million saved up, the 4% rule says you can take $40,000 a year, okay, and you can do that for the rest of your life indexed to inflation, and there's a high probability that you won't run out of principal, right? You're not going to run out of capital.
Now, what kind of a portfolio are you looking at when it comes to a 4% rule, given the rule of thumb?
Right. Yeah. Well, and let me just talk about it the other way, because people ask us, how much money do I need in order to retire? So using the 4% rule, the opposite of it is the 25 times rule, right? So take what you need as income, $40,000 a year, multiply it by 25 times, and you come up with, the golden number as to what you need, as a rule of thumb. Right.
Sorry, I'll get my opinions in the second half of this piece.
All right. So what did you ask me?
Yeah, so what kind of a portfolio does a 4% rule require?
Well, okay, so
in the research that I've seen.
Yeah, the math would tell you that you would need at least 50% in stocks.
There we go. Okay, so
But let me preface that, okay?
Okay.
So we might be straying into what we want to do in the sort of next segment here, but the rules of thumb, there's been some math, people go through and they test these rules of thumbs and all indications. And so what it would say to have any chance of achieving that, you would need at least 50%, but of your portfolio in stock, more likely 70. And in fact, for a very high probability, 100% of your investments
might have to be in stocks.
In stocks, in order to safely achieve that, when you back test it over the past 150 to 200 years.
Okay, so we'll go into more depth of that later. Okay. So generally speaking, you need about half of your money in the stock market to get that 4% rule to work for you.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Okay.
The age rule. I love this one.
Okay.
It's a very easy rule for people to figure out. Asset allocation, the amount of money you need in stocks versus bonds.
Right.
And the general notion is as you age, as you get older, you do not want to take more risk with your money. You want to reduce the risk that you have in the stock market as you age.
Right.
So the age rule, and correct me if I've got this wrong.
You're bang on.
100 is the number minus your age equals the percent you should have in stock.
Right. Or go the other way. Whatever your age is, that's how much. That's the percentage of your portfolio in bonds. If you're 70, 70% of your portfolio in bonds, 30% in stocks.
Okay.
We're going to talk about how that might actually contradict the first rule of thumb.
Got you.
Right? Because we now have to think about how we're going to achieve a 4% rule, or sorry, a 4% rate of return in a portfolio that's asset allocated to an asset class in today's environment that might struggle to deliver on that.
Correct.
Right. So this is where I say these things can often contradict each other.
Okay.
Okay. We need to be cognizant of
that. Let me jump to on my list. I have don't touch your principal. I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
So someone comes in and wants a second opinion, and they've got whatever amount of money they have, and they just want to live off the interest.
Right.
Right. Don't touch my principal, Faisal. I just want to live off the interest. So make enough money. And when they say interest, they're mean growth as well.
Right.
Grow this enough so I can live off and not touch what I initially give you to invest.
Mm-hmm. Every single year.
Okay. So that's another concept or rule that people have.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Cash buffer.
Right.
Okay. Putting in, and we call that a cash wedge in our office.
A couple of years.
Couple of years.
That would
years.
Be the rule of thumb. Couple of years worth of cash.
Yeah.
To insulate your income, what your cash needs are over the next couple of years from the volatility of any of the markets.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Well, we'll talk about whether or not the math actually supports the fact that having a cash wedge for the purposes of drawing an income, help or hinder the portfolio. You might be surprised about that one. Not saying that cash can't be used as an asset allocation, strategic asset allocation if you feel stocks or bonds or whatever might be coming under pressure, but this is specifically speaking to cash wedging for the purposes of income.
So this is all different types of ideas to get you the income you need in retirement, but all have different approaches towards how you handle the portfolio. Let me go over them one more time. The first one was the rule of thumb of 4% rule of thumb.
Right.
Basically drawing on 4%. Based on that, it's about 50% of your money in the stock market.
Okay?
Mathematically. The age rule, like you said, whatever your age is, that's the percent you should have in bonds.
Right.
Because the older you get, you want more safer investments.
Yep.
So that kind of gives you your asset allocation between stocks and bonds.
Right.
Then comes don't touch your principal. That doesn't go towards any type of asset allocation.
Right.
That just says whatever can give me the best return to reach my cash flow needs as long as I don't touch the principal. And here's an example. There are people out there who say, Faisal, I need a 5% return.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to touch on my principal, so I'm going to go buy some stocks that pay me a 5% dividend.
Yeah, common one. Yeah, that's a common
one. And that's going to give me that cash flow, so I don't have to worry about anything. Okay,
right.
So that's the premise. Now, if it was 5% GICs or 5% bonds or whatever it may be, that's whatever can offer what they need, preferred shares, whatever, that's what they're going to look at. That's the number, okay? That doesn't tell you an investment strategy. That just says go chase after yield, right? So let's be aware of what the concept is.
Mm-hmm.
Then the cash buffer
mm-hmm.
is put 2 years worth of cash aside, use that to live off of, and then it still doesn't really go into detail of what the portfolio should look like
right.
with the rest of your money.
Right.
Now, if you have, let's use an easy number, $1 million, and you need $50,000 a year, they're saying put $100,000 or 2 times $50,000 for 2 years of cash. Put that aside and then invest the rest. In what? No real detail in that.
Right.
So that's the kind of, the concept is how to structure things.
Right.
Some of these rules of thumb are on asset allocation or how to invest.
Right.
That's a piece to remember. Now, the problem is when you've got a concept versus a portfolio asset allocation, they may not work well together. They may contradict each other, like you've said.
Yeah, but here's what I like about the rule of thumb, okay? The rules of thumb in general, as I said, if you accept them as a framework for starting a conversation, they're important, right? Because if you think about the 4% rule...
Do you think people do that?
Well, I don't think they do, but this is what I'm saying. If you read these things, okay, I don't accept it as gospel. Think about it as a conversation starter. So whether it should be 4% or 3% or 2.5% plus a little bit, depending on asset allocation. Okay, this is where, you want to talk to a professional who can give you some advice and guidance on this. But my point is, working backwards from that goal and objective helps you, if you've got some place you're starting from, helps you understand the conversation, right? So each of these rules of thumb, I like from the perspective that it's getting people thinking about asset allocation. How do I need to asset allocate
how
to
do
achieve
I, yeah.
my goals?
Exactly.
Right? Versus, hey, I'm just going to have a collection of stuff in my portfolio that I thought over time was good. That's not a strategy, right?
Correct.
So it is positive in that respect. However, I don't want to go over
So what one thing we do have to mention is that our solution to this problem is what we talk about at our seminars. And we're going to have our next seminar on Tuesday, July 24th, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine and Spirits. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or go on our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right. And let's continue the conversation after the break about what you can take away and what the reality is of each of those rules of thumb. You join us after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.